Hello, Popcornalorians. This is JC and Steph with an F on the next episode, the third episode of Popcorn and Lore. Welcome and thank you for joining us. Steph, how are you?
I'm doing good. I forgot, and I, folks, I have ADHD, so it's real quick from 20 minutes ago, you saying
Popcornalorians.
Popcornalorians till now. That's why I started laughing a little bit because I forgot.
So we will affectionately refer to our listeners as Popcornalorians.
Yes, we are all Popcornalorians.
Yes.
But today's episode, we're going to be talking, going deep diving into cartoons.
That's right.
Saturday morning, 90s, 2000s, just during the week when you're getting home from school. Or when you're getting up in the morning, or if you were one of the lucky ones when you were sick, you didn't have to sit there and watch your parents' soap operas.
Yes.
You actually got to watch some cartoons.
Yes. And not only that, but we will be discussing live-action TV shows as well.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, no, there was a lot of, especially towards into the 2000s and 2000s, it really switched a lot from being animated to live-action.
Yes. So all that to say, we hope you enjoy this episode. I don't know why I'm kind of laying this out like we're going to a break, I think
you were pausing more for the effect of trying to figure out how you can call me old without calling me old. Because I know before this, right before we started recording, folks, he goes, "So what year in the 90s were you born?" I was like, "I wasn't born in the 90s. I was born in 89. So,
And for those of you wondering, I was born in 97. No. And so,
I'm what's generally considered a millennial, and you're kind of in the in between of an older Gen Z,
correct? Yes,
or late millennial, depending on the 1 year difference.
That's
on where you're looking at.
Yes, but because we want to stand out in this podcast and show some differences, we will refer to me as Gen Z, and Steph as millennial. Cool. Because, you know, it's just fun. That way we can take little, you know, pokes at...
Jabs at age. Yeah. But also it comes down to, you know, I mean, like with every generation, there's some differences in what we grew up in.
Yes.
Because when you were born, I was in elementary school.
Correct.
And then when I was in high school, you were just getting into, like, was it elementary, junior high levels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's... We have those differences, and also we did grow up on two different areas here in the United States.
Indeed.
I was on the East Coast. You were here in the Midwest. And so, you know, that kind of brings into some of our differences, too.
Yes.
Growing up. And, of course, I grew up in the era where if you had dial-up, which was internet back then. If you had the dial-up, you couldn't use it if anyone was using the phone. It was very, very slow. And you just hoped that no one in the middle of when you were downloading something or wanting to try to play a game online, which is back then was almost impossible. You just hoped no one had to you know, make use a phone call. And you only had maybe one computer in the house if you were lucky, back then. But you grew up in the time where, I mean, cell phones were just starting to explode on the scene.
That's right.
Like, you really grew up in that age of the development was happening so fast. I mean, we went from having an iPod to having an iPhone.
Right.
You know, and then went to having more and more smartphones come out.
Yes. And I think kids growing up now, you'll probably see less and less landlines. I grew up in a home that had a landline. I remember being a young man, baby, if we want to say a baby. Who remembers being a baby? But anyway, I remember growing up, my childhood in Houston, Texas, and it was a great time. But to the topic at hand here, we have TV shows. And one of the things I remember growing up was Disney and Nickelodeon. And, of course, Cartoon Network. But I think the two main ones for me was Disney and Nick, or were Disney and Nick. And, sorry, I'm a grammar person, and so when I hear that I don't get something right, I'm like, oh, we gotta go back and correct that. Anyway, when it comes to these shows, one of the first ones I remember was a Disney show. And it's called Phil of the Future. I don't know if you ever watched it. Yep. I think it was one of the shorter shows.
It was a live action. I want to say it was 3 or 4 seasons long.
Yes. In fact, I've got it right here. So it ran from June 18th, 2004 to August 19th, 2006. So it had 2 seasons. And it was a great show. And what it did was it followed a family from the future who got stranded in the 21st century.
Nice.
Now, that's very interesting because, of course, we haven't advanced all that much in terms of technology. I mean, yes, we have the smartphone and whatnot, but we have never been able to crack time travel. And I don't know that we ever will. In fact, I don't think we will. But this show was really good. I remember it being one of the first shows that I watched as a kid. And it's weird how memory works. Because I have moments where I remember sitting on the couch, watching a few of these shows. I remember some moments from the shows. But at that point, like I said, 2004, not a whole lot I remember from 2004.
Yeah, and really by that time, a lot of the, like you said, the kids' shows were on Disney Channel, on Nickelodeon, and on Cartoon Network for the people that had just regular cable. Yes. I'm sure other ones who didn't. But also, like, when I grew up, we had shows on PBS. And I think there were still shows on there, PBS, too. But, yeah, like, Arthur was on PBS. But we also had the WB Kids was brand new. Fox Kids was brand new. Yes. And those were just hours during throughout the day that there was kids programming that they had. And of course, Disney Channel at that time, especially in the early 90s, hadn't fully become the Disney Channel we know now. It was still working on its programming. It was starting to become more into kids programming. But Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network.
Yes.
I mean, I grew up in the era with Cartoon Network on that same channel. But during a specific time set, it was Toonami. And that was huge. We had so many different shows on there, like Dragon Ball Z, a lot of anime from Japan and other Asian countries that were dubbed for American and also censored a little bit, too. But we had other shows, like we had the Amanda Show off of Nickelodeon, which was a live action, and it was just fun, goofy. But, you know, we also grew up with a lot of animated ones. Of course, we were still going off of a lot of the 80s shows were still popular because we also had the creation of, what was it called? Boom or something like Boom.
Right.
That was right before where they would move all the old TV shows, like the old Scooby-Doo's, the Looney Tunes, all that stuff. We also had Looney Tunes Babies.
Yes.
That was a huge back in the day, too. And, I mean, of course, some other live action. These were a little older for older kids. Now, I saw them late. I saw it later, but Boy Meets World. Mm-hmm. That aired from 1993 to 2000. I didn't watch it when it first came out because I was still too young.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched reruns later on. And then caught up with the series by the end of 2000. And, you know, that was really huge. And back in the day, of course, that was live action. But, you know, we had Looney Tunes, Cat Dog.
Yes.
Dexter's Laboratory, you know, all those.
Oh, yeah.
That were just different. And, like, for Dexter's Laboratory, you know, it was a smart, genius guy who had an annoying sister. And he was just trying to, you know, just work on science stuff and have fun and do that. It would be more, not really have fun, but for him, have fun.
And don't forget about Danny Phantom.
Oh, Danny Phantom was huge during that time period. We also had Doug, which was, you know, animated, but it was a life of a young boy that meets friends, falls in love, and just gets through sixth grade. And writes it all down in a journal and stuff. And just fun stuff like that. And of course you had like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yes.
Which had some dark, you know, deep topics. Even Stevens was one of the first live action on Disney Channel that I remember more. Mm-hmm. That and Lizzie McGuire, wow, both were very, very huge.
Now, what year was Even Stevens?
Even Stevens was 2000 to 2003.
Okay. So see, and picking up on my end of things, we've got The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I don't know. Were you watching The Suite Life?
A little bit of it, okay. Mostly only when nothing really else was on, kind of like I was starting to be too old,
yeah,
for the Disney Channel, even though I did like some of it, sure, of course. And my sister, if she ever comes on this podcast, will tell you I love Disney Channel. I don't watch it much anymore. Mostly because I can't really relate to it, yeah, as much.
No.
But even through the mid 2000s, you know, 2010s started to be where I was like, not relating as much,
right?
But sometimes they come out with some good stuff, and especially now with Disney Plus,
right?
But of course, like back in the day, like you and I don't remember as much, like My So-Called Life,
no,
or Party of Five, not the remake of that, the original one. Just of course had five siblings raising each other, because the parents had died in the newer version, which I don't know if it's still on air or not anymore. The parents had been deported. It kind of, it upgraded with the times of the stuff that was going on then. But it brought along a lot of different aspects of learning. But again, I was still too young for that. But I'm looking at some of the stuff for teenagers.
Man,
I remember not watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer when it was originally on, because again, it was 1997. I wouldn't have been allowed to watch that right then.
Right, right.
But reruns later on that kind of defined, but I don't know if you remember, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You didn't watch reruns of it.
No.
That was scary, some scary stuff.
Now, what network was that?
I do not remember. I think that was Nickelodeon.
Okay. While you're looking at that, I'll run through a couple of these.
Yeah.
So, of course, like I said, we've got Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I remember really enjoying this show. You know, one of the things that was really interesting about it is it was two boys being raised by their mother. Great show, great supporting cast. And really, that show really birthed the careers of many classic Disney stars, at least from that time. You've got Ashley Tisdale, yep, Brenda Song, the Sprouse Brothers, of course, many, many others. And I'm forgetting names. I should pull up the cast.
And while you're doing that,
yes,
that time too, that was when Disney was really starting to cross over more,
yeah,
and do more and more crossovers between their show and build the universes.
Yes.
I know they'd done, I think, some for some of the others, but really at that point, they were mastering that.
Right. Well, and I remember one episode of The Suite Life. And by the way, I'll run through the rest of the cast here. We've got Phil Lewis, who just does a phenomenal job. Kim Rhodes, phenomenal job. The sitcom overall is fantastic. They've got a great opening sequence, theme song, whatnot.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I'll remember that when I'm in a nursing home if I live that long. But the deal here is that just a great show. And like to Steph's point, one of the things about it was at this point where Disney was growing into almost a new era and a, yeah, new way of doing things. I remember Zac Efron coming onto one episode of that show, and it's like, oh, there's the guy from High School Musical. You know, and we'll talk about High School Musical at a later date. But then, of course, you had appearances by Miley Cyrus, who played Hannah Montana. And that was one of the shows that ran for quite a while. It went from 2006 to 2011. Great show. You know, but well, go
and,
ahead.
And Disney, well, I was going to say, and Disney was playing more on the lighter side. They dove into some deep topics, but not, yes, too deep. But, like, I remember, and also because of my age, I was a little older, but, like, Gilmore Girls, One Tree Hill, Gossip Girl. I wasn't much into Gossip Girl, but, you know, those were, like, they dove into some deep, dark topics, or, like, Veronica Mars.
Right.
And, like, of course, people watch reruns nowadays, but, like, Gilmore Girls and like, Friends and stuff like that, I remember, yeah, sitting down with my mom, and I may not understand all the stuff.
Right.
And some of the episodes, like, it would be like, hey, you know, we're not going to watch this episode. It's a little too, especially with One Tree Hill or anything like that. It was, you know, but on some of the stuff, you go back and rewatch later, but, you know, like 8 Simple Rules. I don't remember if you remember that show. That's, where, who is it? There's, you know, a lot of different actors and actresses came from, and a lot of, it was a great show, but it brought, dove deep into a lot of different topics, especially for like high school or family dynamics. And, you know, a guy at one point, trying to relate to, you know, his family and teenage daughters and teenage son, you know.
Well, and you brought up, I mean, blast from the past here, but Arthur on PBS.
Yeah.
I think they just recently announced that that show, I think it was last year, the official end of the Arthur series. I mean, it went on for a while.
A long, long time.
A lot of people loved it. I remember watching it. I enjoyed the show. I don't know if you remember Maya and Miguel. That was another show on PBS.
I don't remember that one as much, but I remember there was also a Wishbone. Where it was literally a little dog who would jump into stories and become, he would be the main character. Wow. And like he wouldn't talk, like his mouth wouldn't move, but like you'd be hearing him like he was talking. And like the people around him couldn't hear him. That's but like very he was talking to you.
Okay.
And it was just so cool because it would bring like different, like Robin Hood and different stories to life.
Oh, that's neat.
And like he would be dressed up as a character or whatever, you know what I mean? And
yes.
It was just cute and good fun and learning. And by the way, the Arthur show started in 1996 until 2022.
Wow.
So that was a long time running. That hit multiple generations.
Well, and I know I've mentioned a few Disney shows, but switching gears to Nickelodeon, and I think this is one that we both appreciate. You had Drake and Josh. And fantastic show. Obviously, you know, it's over now. You can watch the show, I believe, on Paramount Plus, I think.
I think so, yeah. A lot of that stuff's on Paramount Plus. So
but it was one of those shows that dealt with more adult, mature themes. And obviously so, because
it's still on a lighter end, though.
Yes. Yeah, and I think one of the things that's been interesting about it is you've seen Josh Peck and Drake Bell go into different directions. Obviously, Miranda Cosgrove is still doing some entertainment. She's been in Despicable Me, those movies. Yep. But that was another great show that I always look forward to watching. Yep. Obviously geared more toward teens, but it's still a great show.
And one of the shows I remember the most that made a huge impact on my generation, and I think a little bit on the generation right before me, or just slightly in between there, Degrassi, but mine was Degrassi The Next Generation.
Yes.
We were after the original Degrassi, and you know, a lot of the shows were coming from other places. Like this was made in Canada. And then sent here, I can't remember which station it was on, but I know it was not on, I know it wasn't on Disney. May have been a little bit on Nickelodeon at night, but I don't think so. I can't remember again, but you know, that dove, Degrassi, The Next Generation especially, was really one of those pinnacle shows that dove into kids' lives. And I was, because that was from 2001 to 2015 when it ended. Now, by 2015, I wasn't watching it. Right, but through a lot of it, I kind of grew up with them a little bit. I think it was just a little ahead of me age-wise, but not by much.
Right. No, I didn't pay much attention to that one. One other show, and it's kind of in the same vein of what you were talking about. You're kind of aging out of the Disney channels and the Nickelodeon's Cartoon Networks. Mm-hmm. But Good Luck Charlie on Disney Channel.
Yeah,
was just a beloved show for its time. It aired from 2010 until 2014. So by that point, you know, I don't even think I watched the last season, maybe even the last two seasons of the show. But it was a fantastic show, very heartwarming, family-centered for the most part. And then on top of that, you had the show, this was another Disney show. And I believe they have a spinoff of it right now. I have not seen that, nor will I probably ever watch it. But Jesse... and that featured Debbie Ryan, Peyton List.
And I actually watched some of that a little bit, mostly whenever nothing else was on TV and I just wanted to watch a little TV. And it's very good.
Yes. I think those two shows, those are probably the last two I remember on more of the kid, you know, teen networks.
Yeah.
Sort of moving out of that, I did watch a little bit of SpongeBob. I watched Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
We mentioned Danny Phantom. The animated shows of Nick at that time, for me, were really at the top of the game.
Yeah.
You had Cartoon Network that had, like, The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. I watched maybe a few episodes of that. You also had, what was the other show I'm thinking of right now? Well, I can't think of it, but those were good animated shows.
Yeah. Well, they had Ed and Eddie. Invader Zim.
Yeah.
And some other ones. I think that was, I mean, folks, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was Cartoon Network. That may have been Nickelodeon.
Invader Zim?
Yeah.
I don't remember,
which one.
I don't think I.
But the other good thing, the one thing that the that Disney, Cartoon Network, and Nickelodeon did that some of the other stations couldn't, or, you know, maybe not had done,
yes,
is they had different hour blocks for different age groups. So
yes.
That really helped.
It did,
but
yeah.
Also, like, what Disney was able to do, too, is they had a whole separate channel, which was, at one point, it was called ABC Family.
Yeah.
And so they played a little bit more of, like, Kyle XY, played more a little bit more of the stuff that can go deeper into topics that, yeah, Disney Channel itself couldn't do.
Right.
Because of how they wanted to focus. And they had commercials on there where Disney Channel,
right,
they did commercials for their stuff.
Right.
But now I think, what is it, ABC Family is now called Freeform.
Okay.
And so they can have those darker, like, Pretty Little Liars and, yeah, stuff like that, that dive deeper into teens / young adults.
Right. I remember when I was watching Disney Channel, I couldn't wait for the switch from Disney Kids, or was, yeah, it Disney Junior? Disney Playhouse,
yeah,
something like that.
Disney,
I couldn't wait,
yeah,
for it to switch over because it's like, oh, there's nothing on for me to watch. And now it's interesting because you see a lot of the shows that were popular on the kids networks, like, for, yeah, instance, iCarly. They got a reboot, or more like a revival, and they did more adult, you know, themes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have not seen that, the latest installment.
I haven't yet either, but I've heard it's good. But, you know, I mean, but seeing that nowadays, you know, yeah, some of the shows, I know there was a Lizzie McGuire in the works, but then, Liz, you know, the actress Hilary Duff, who wanted to play, who played, Lizzie McGuire, you know, she wanted it to be for the kid,
right,
for the ones who were kids back in the day. Now they're adults,
right,
you know, wanted to be a little older, and Disney didn't want that. They wanted more of a kids show, kind of like Girl Meets World.
Right.
When they announced that back in the day, you know, it was a spinoff of Boy Meets World. But they put it on Disney Channel, which also kind of limited it, which I hated, but they did a great job of what they had, but it kind of limited it because out of when they hit a certain age,
yeah,
they couldn't dive deeper into those topics that Boy Meets World could do back in the day. But
so,
I also understand why they did that too.
So talk me through the premise of Boy Meets World, because those two were, okay, not shows that I had watched.
Yeah, Boy Meets World, and I'll try to get up a full thing on Boy Meets World here. But Boy Meets World was where we followed Corey Matthews and his friends. It was his Topanga, who later became his girlfriend and fiance and wife, and then his friend Sean. And then, of course, followed the rest of his family, with, and later series, it got less and less with, like, his parents and everything as he got older. It kind of, it grew up because they moved off to college and everything, but it dealt around, life situations. It dealt around, we had a great teacher who would give them, like, lessons, and you learned a lot of things from there. But let's see. It started off with an adolescent. I'm reading this now. An adolescent with two siblings. He's testing his theories on life. That's what it's saying here. That seems a little weird on there, but it was just growing up and, you know, figuring out, you know, life.
Mm-hmm.
And it did it at a good. There were some funny moments. There were some really serious moments. And it dealt with also, you know, different parts of life, because, like, yeah, Corey, his family, you know, they weren't rich, but they were good and secure.
Right.
Where, like, Sean, you know, his mom wasn't there. His dad was in and out of his life. And it wasn't a good situation to grow up in. But, you know, and then, you know, just also, you know, they also had stories with brothers, and then, you know, Topanga's parents, they brought up divorce in there. And
that's very interesting, because that was one of the earlier Disney shows, right?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It's not, it was an ABC Family show.
Okay.
It was Disney owns ABC.
Okay.
So.
But they ended up putting it on Disney.
I think they did as reruns.
Okay.
But when they first originally launched, it was on ABC Family. What? So it could be a little deeper so they could do all the episodes. But especially when they got into college, it was like, as the life progressed, like it changed. And they hit, like I said, they talked about bullying and other different topics.
That's one of the fascinating things to me about, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, but what's one of the fascinating things about kids programming, and I wouldn't even call it kids, but like when you have a show that's geared towards teens on, say, Disney or Nick. Well, for me, Drake and Josh was fairly mature, but you look at that and you compare it to growing up in real life. Even those shows that are geared towards teens, young adults, whatever you want to call it, are still pretty soft, and they try to keep things happy and light. You resolve a problem within 30 minutes, like most sitcoms
do. And maybe if there's a two-parter, it's that much.
Right. And of course, you know, Drake and Josh, they were a blended family, and so they dealt with that. But it was never, you know, kids go through so much, even in elementary school, you know.
Yep.
And I think it's a bit of a disservice. I think escapism is good.
Yeah.
But I also think that, and this is one thing Pixar does well, and we talked about Pixar in our last episode, but one thing that they do really well is they don't treat kids like they can't understand deep topics.
Yeah.
So as long as you present it in a way that they can digest, it'll end up being really good.
And see, Disney, I feel, and if I remember, I may have read this somewhere also, when they were creating their what their image of what they wanted to be for the Disney Channel, they wanted to be that safe area where parents know they could go, and it would be, you know, lighthearted, safer, just and a different little thing. Because you had back in the 80s and 90s, you know, you had X-Men, the animated series, and stuff that was hitting like hard topics that kids could understand and everything. But they also wanted, some parents didn't want to hit on all that stuff. They wanted a little, especially depending on what age their kids are.
Right. Well, and to your point, and we both love this show, but Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
It's an animated series, but it is a deep show on some level.
And hit some dark, dark topics.
Yes.
And even like we had like, you know, Recess. It was from 1997 to 2001. You probably don't remember that one as much. But it dealt with a group of kids. It was animated, and it was just their tales, and just, you know, sometimes they had fun, sometimes it was a little serious.
Yeah.
But you also had, like, stuff like Pinky and the Brain.
I've heard of it.
Yes. And that was from 1995 to 1998, and they did a lot of reruns on that. That was just some good old fun. But sometimes, especially looking back now, some of the topics in there, like, you wouldn't have realized it as a kid, but now you're like, ooh. That was a little deeper. There was, you know, maybe Pinky wasn't as dumb as Brain thought he was at times.
You know what makes me laugh about that? The names are just, they're just different. Yeah. I'm sure it fits the show, but because I have little to no context of what,
Well, one thing you might have some context of, and this was a huge show that I remember, and still hitting today because they're still making new series every single year, but Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original.
Okay.
You know, this is a team of teenagers with attitude. And they're recruited in Angel Grove to fight Rita Repulsa. And later Lord Zedd. And then of course, as the series move on, they changed to who they're fighting and who is fighting, but they're all Power Rangers.
Okay.
But that was none of them were teenagers, by the way, or I think they were all in their early to I mean, if they were teenagers, like 18 years old, I think I'll have to look all that up. But especially back then. But, you know, they dealt with good problems. Those good lessons were learned in there, because that's also one thing, too. You got to everyone has to remember, because back, you know, I know this before the 70s, but I think maybe the 80s into the 90s, TV changed, regulations changed. And, you know, you couldn't just be selling toys and stuff like that. Now, of course, all TVs shows, especially nowadays, deal with sales of toys.
Right.
But, you know, they you had to, there were some restrictions on, you had to have educational stuff in there. there couldn't be cussing in there, or you couldn't show blood, or or death, or some, you know, other regulations, it would be bumped up to another level, and it wouldn't be considered a kids show.
Wow.
And you also had, for Disney, at one time, after the Renaissance had started with Little Mermaid, Lion King, you know, Beauty and the Beast, you had TV shows based off of those movies. Mm. I remember Hercules, Little Mermaid, there was a Timon and Pumbaa.
Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch had their little animated series, which honestly, I think that one was the better of all of them.
It was really good.
Yeah. But they also had to have like educational stuff in there. And that kind of continues today to certain degrees. I know some shows, especially now with streaming happening,
right,
you know, those are regulated differently now rather than cable TV.
One thing that's really interesting, if you ever want to revisit your old shows, but say you don't want to go back and rewatch a whole series, but it'd be interesting to reconnect with the actors or actresses, see where they're at now. One of the things that I've been seeing a lot of are podcasts that are being hosted by these performers. And so, for instance, a few of the cast members from Good Luck Charlie, I'm trying to think of the Bradley Stephen Perry. He played Gabe in the show. And he's got a podcast online. He's done a couple episodes with Jason Dolley, who was also in a show called Cory in the House.
Yep.
And they've talked about, it's really interesting to hear some of their commentary on the episodes and what was going on at the time. Because you don't think about it, because we watch these shows and you're like, okay, they put together a show. But there was a lot going on in the shows. And to go back and listen to some of what they have to say about the filming, very interesting.
And also because, I mean, we don't see the stuff behind the scenes.
Yes.
We don't know of what was going on and everything. The episode before this one, that there's Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. There was a movie and then they did a TV series on it. And there's a podcast. It's not only football. Friday Night Lights and Beyond. Like, they talk about the show. They have guests on. There's also like Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes.
A couple of the actors.
Yes.
Now, Selena Gomez is not currently on there.
Correct.
But, you know, some of the other ones. Or like there's an Even Stevens, I think it's called Evens More.
Yes.
And there's other ones out there too, that are being created, but you can go back and listen and hear, like you said, the stuff behind the scenes, but also, like get a sense of how they feel about the show looking back now, especially cause I think there's a Boy Meets World one.
Okay.
The gentleman writer who played Sean Hunter, he's watching it now with his son.
Wow.
And so going back and watching it, and, you know, seeing the perspective of the stuff back then and talking with his son about it.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't talk to his son on the podcast. He talks about, his conversations with his son to the other cast members who are on there.
Even as a viewer, and this is just funny considering we're talking about generational differences too, it definitely contributes to making you feel old. When you go to some of these podcasts and you're like, wow, I used to watch them when they were, you know, whether it's junior high or high school. Like, for instance, the cast of Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, the starring role in that that show, he was actually, I believe, in junior high at the time they were filming the character in junior high. And so you go back and you watch some of these podcasts that you mentioned. They're adults, and you're looking at it, and you're like, wow, time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and just like Boy Meets World, for example, he was that age.
Yes.
Corey, the gentleman who played Corey Matthews, you know, and the rest of them, they were the ages, or at least close enough to the ages right there, that they were talking about through most of it. And there was a couple characters who came in who were older at times, especially when they got into the college years and stuff like that, or high school in the college years. But, I mean, just the representation there of telling those stories.
Yes.
And being able to relate to kids, because, you know, sometimes you get the fun stuff like Kim Possible, who, right. I mean, she's, you know, she's a high school cheerleader who is also saving the world,
right,
kind of thing. But
with a hairdryer, by the way.
Yeah, with the hairdryer. And but, you know, she is also kind of relatable because she's just a kid, too. She's just a teenager.
I will say that the live action version of the show,
I have not seen that.
They did the movie. That was interesting. Of course, you can only do so much, but One thing that is different, you go back now, and it's probably just from being older. But I'll go back now and I'll watch, like, you know, just recently I went back and I watched a few episodes of one show. And I get it's writing that's geared more toward kids. But even the shows that are supposed to be geared more toward teens, and this is no disrespect to the production or the script or anything, but I find this interesting. Most of the time, I mean, there's some funny things.
Yeah.
But that laugh track really contributes to, okay, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I'll be honest, you go back and you watch some of it and you're like, that wasn't actually super funny. But some of it was.
That shouldn't have been a funny moment.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right. But it was because of the laugh track, though.
And also, I mean, you have some stuff like back when Step by Step was coming on the air from 1991 to 1998.
Okay, that's why I don't remember
it. Yeah, that one's it's live action. It was a blended family. And back then, even then, you didn't really talk about divorce a lot.
Okay.
You know, and stuff like that. Or being a blended family, like it was starting to become a topic that we talked about more. But also, like, sometimes looking back, you look back at a show and you're like, oh, I remember that show. That was so awesome. You look back and you're like, ooh, some things did not age well.
Right. Or just the lines and the jokes are really weak or they're cheesy and you're like,
throughout the times too.
Right. That also makes a difference. And obviously, like you're saying, the times, every generation is going to have a different way of presenting humor.
Yeah.
And so for instance, I'm sure if we went and watched some of the newer shows, you know, we would not have a reaction that would be very, you know, enthused with the
humor. Yeah.
But, yes.
Well, I mean, just, you know, also it was, like, that day and age, like, looking back, like, The Tribe, which I barely remember. It was from 1999 to 2003.
Okay.
A group of young adults struggle with surviving in a world where all the adults have been killed by a mysterious virus.
Oh.
Now, you wouldn't see that nowadays being made.
Well, no, and you know, but what's interesting about that, though, is if it was put on TV today, what sort of commentary would that spur in regard to COVID-19 and what we just went through, you know, over the last couple of years?
Yeah.
And that's another interesting thing we could touch on is the whole debate over does art imitate life or does life imitate art, or is it both? And I think even with shows like this, you will see different things that are brought up in the shows that in some ways are recurring in conversations today.
Yeah. Well, and even like in fantasy shows like Vampire Diaries, you know, it brings up some deep topics that you could take away the vampires, you can take away all the supernatural stuff. And it's literally, you know, a story that, which if you remove all that stuff, that one would be boring. But, you know, it has the different topics. Like she's having, especially the first season, she's dealing with grief. Her parents are dead. She has survived the wreck that her parents died in.
Yeah.
You know, and then just progresses on, just hits those levels. Or like That's So Raven, which I don't quote me on this, but I think it was one of, I know Sister and Sister, but also That's So Raven.
Oh, Sister, I love that.
I think That's So Raven was one of the first ones Disney Channel that had an African American woman being the main character. And, you know, because I know I heard this from somewhere. The first, when they were first originally starting to make it, it wasn't called That's So Raven, but it, you know, there was a couple different leads coming on that the character in that Raven Simone played was more of a side character. But then they changed it to be more of her being a front character. And I mean, it works so well, but you know, those kind of different things. And
that's another interesting thing too, watching the performers, like presently and seeing where a few of them have ended up. So I believe Raven, I think she's been on a few,
talk shows, done some
that
movies,
kind of thing.
But now she also has the Raven's Home. It's
is that a TV show?
Yeah, no, it's on Disney Channel. It's her kids.
Okay,
now
wow. Okay,
but it's called Raven's Home, and so it's sequel. to that So Raven. You know, she's an adult now. Kind of like what they wanted to do with, like, Lizzie McGuire. That was first, and that's on Disney Channel.
Okay. Yeah, you've got her. You've got Miley Cyrus, who, you know, obviously she's got her career going. Yeah. But I wanted to return to something you said earlier about just dealing with adult topics. I mentioned earlier the Batman animated series. Great show. I recommend it to anybody who loves the superhero genre. Another show that I'd highly recommend is Batman Beyond. And it is a superhero animated TV show. It's set in sort of like a cyberpunk, if you will, Gotham City. One of the interesting things about that, and the first episode of the show, I believe it's the first episode, and I won't spoil the show. Maybe we can do an episode on this show. But it deals with divorce and murder. Yep. So Terry McGinnis is the young new guy that's on the scene. He stumbles upon Bruce Wayne's house. Bruce Wayne is probably in his mid-60s, early 70s. And Terry's father is murdered by a group of Jokers. That's the gang long after the Joker's supposedly dead, yep. Blah, blah, blah. But even then, I watched this as a kid at, like, you know, elementary school, junior high level. And you'd probably look at that and go, oh, some of that's dark. But like we said earlier, if you package it right,
yeah,
I think kids have to be exposed to tough topics early on.
Well, and the way they did it, too, like they you know, they showed him working through grief. They showed that it was okay to be angry. It was okay to have these feelings but to work through them. Right. And not to go down the dark path.
Right.
But it also showed, you know, a different side of, you know, different dynamics. And also him learning to believe in himself, honestly, if I remember correctly.
Right.
He's like, I mean, you know, I mean, not saying he was a little cocky too.
Yes.
But it was more like, and also learning, you know, to the love his, you know, his family,
right,
and how they were dealing with everything too. And I wish they dove a little bit more into how his little brother was feeling on it too. But again, it was Batman Beyond, so they had to focus on the Batman part,
right. But they dealt with a lot of interesting topics. There's one episode and it deals with something called splicing, and I don't know if you remember this at all, but one of the things that it covers is mixing animal DNA with human DNA to enhance the human. And you look at some discussions now on, you know, regarding technological implants to increase intelligence, that kind of thing. There's a lot of conversation right now on those topics. So anyway, I could nerd out about Batman and superheroes all day. Well, that's not the point.
And we also have had, I mean, there's different Spider-Man TV shows throughout the times. And I remember the one I remember the most, of course, is, you know, the animated, the different animated ones. But the one on MTV that took a little darker tone to it. And it was a weird animation.
Is that the one that was loosely based on the Tobey Maguire?
Very loosely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Very, very loose.
Spider-Man. Man, I need to look this up.
The MTV one. I mean, it was a different animation style, but, you know, it went a little darker and a little, but it didn't last as long as the other ones.
Spider-Man, the new animated series.
Yes.
And you're right. The animation was very kind of wonky.
It was before CGI was like common, and they were still learning, still having, the computers weren't as advanced enough for the good quality that it needed.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to get on the cutting edge of that. If I remember correctly, with that and other series that were doing that same thing.
Sweet.
This is Popcorn Allure. We'll see you next week, and we will be talking about D&D. The Honor Among Thieves movie. Woohoo!
Keep on imagining.